Hitmen and Sudden Death, The Quest, Maximum Risk, Double Team, Knock Off, Legionnaire, Universal Soldier, The Return Until Death, Swelter, Pound of Flesh. He was a co-stunt coordinator on a movie called Shepherd. By the way, he's a stuntman and all that stuff, and we'll get to that later. Shepherd, his own stuff is Kung Phony, which I love. We're going to talk about that. Kung Phony, Turbulent Ooh. Skies, Super Shark, Jersey Shore Attack, A Reason to Live, My Redneck Neighbor. I fucking love that one. The Red Chair Killer, also Toby Keith's video. I love this bar. We filmed it at Cowboy Saloon in Chatsworth, which is cool, man. I love that shit. And he was a boxer at the bar. Who am I fucking talking about? My buddy Todd Senofonte, actor, stuntman, extraordinaire, and he's got long hair now. How you been, buddy?
Very long. My quarantine look.
Right? Tell me about it, man. So what you been up to, dude? I just read off like a fucking resume and a half, man. Just so everybody gets this one together. The reason there are so many Jean-Claude Van Damme videos or movies in that is because Mr. Todd Senofonte was basically his main stuntman. So let's get into all that shit. First of all, how have you been? What you been doing through all this fucking
I've been taking it day by day. Yeah. But I do want to clear something up, that people that don't know the movie business, there's a stand-in, a photo double, and a stunt double. When I started back in 1994, I was Jean-Claude's stand-in. What a stand-in does
is looks just like the goddamn guy, I tell you that.
That does help. But before the actor comes onto set, a stand-in will actually stand in where the actor is going to, you know, stand. And the lighting has to be right. The camera angle has to be right. So we have to make sure, you know, if he turns this way, the light is right on him. And then if he runs, you got to run that way. So that was how I started, as a stand-in. And then I got to do the photo doubling, which is, you know, the back shots of the actor, but it's the photo double, right. Inserts of, you know, doing stuff on a computer. It's a lot of, you know,
say the close up when he raises his eyebrow and goes,
Well, you know, it is. I could. And then, of course, you know, I gradually worked to do the stunts. So, yeah, but how there's a big difference. I wanted to make sure that, you know, stand in, photo double, stunt double.
Well, yeah, but either way, you rocked all that shit. So,
well, I like to brag, but you know,
it's like I just want to let you know I've done it all over there. But all right, so how the hell? Because I've always been kind of wondering that one. When you got into it, I mean, I'm gonna throw some pictures up on the screen in a minute. Oh, look, there you are, and look how much you look like the guy. Seriously, you did, like, especially in your younger years, look a lot like him. So, did you seek out Jean-Claude Van Damme to like be his double guy and his stuntman, or did that find you? I mean, because it literally is.
I found them. This is how it happened. Back in 1993, I was, I'm going to go back a little further. The resemblance, you know, responses happened when I was in the military. Back in 1991, I was in the Pennsylvania Army National Guard. The day before graduation, drill sergeants rolled out this tray, a big cart, with a TV and a VCR. So he popped in.
Kids are like, what the fuck is that?
He popped in the movie Bloodsport. So all the, you know, my platoon were watching it. And then a couple guys would look back at me and they'd say, hey, you look like that guy. So I went to Penn State University. I withdrew from Penn State University, went to Bloomsburg University. I'm at a Halloween party dressed up as a girl.
As is tradition.
I looked hot.
God damn it, Todd.
So I'm at this party and these girls are looking at me. They came over and they go, hey, you look like Jean-Claude Van Damme.
In drag.
Well, in drag. Yeah, cool.
Here's a little secret about Jean-Claude.
I graduated from Bloomsburg University. I go back to Scranton, Pennsylvania. I go down to Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania, which is like a bar. It's called Murray's. So I'm out there with my buddies, and I see Ray Hollett, one of the original American Gladiators.
The Ray Hollett?
Well, you know, Zap. She was with the blonde hair.
Oh, fuck. Oh, dude, American Gladiator.
Ray Hollett.
Brain fart. And I used to watch with Blaze and Laser.
Yeah, all those guys. Holy shit. My buddy Michael Hearn used to be a gladiator. So I'm walking through the bar, and I see her. And she's waving me over. I walked over, and she goes, I thought you were Jean-Claude Van Damme. I go, Ray, I said, pleasure to meet you. I said, people have been telling me that, you know, for a long time. She goes,
I mean, it's weird, especially you being when you were young. Go ahead. It's
can like, I finish?
Yes, go ahead.
Sheesh.
Know what I was thinking was.
So she goes, well, I want to talk to you before you leave. So me and my buddies walk around the bar. It started raining because we're in the patio. And my buddies go, let's go. Let's get out of here. I said, hold on. I go find her. I said, Ray, I'm leaving. She goes, look at next week. Let's meet for lunch. I really want to talk to you. I said, all right. So I meet her for lunch. I write out a whole bio of myself. We're talking. She goes, look, you should really consider trying to get in touch with these people. You never know what can happen. I go, all right. So she gave me some pointers. And I'm in I looked in a local newspaper, and they needed a model for a TV repair.
Model American.
So I said, what? Hey, it's where I got to get some pictures. So I got the job, and I had this like shirt on. It says Joe. And I have a big screwdriver, and I'm screwing the microwave. I'm looking back. Okay, look that way. Okay, look that way. Taking a picture. He goes, hey, you know who you look like?
You're like, please, go, yeah, let me do.
Eddie Murphy? No.
Right?
You look like Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Sam now, listen, Kinison?
Now, here's the kicker. He pulls out a business card. He goes, here. It was Van Damme's agent's address in California.
That's just lucky as all
Jack Girardi's office.
You know?
So I took it. I was like, all right. I put it in my pocket. And I remember one day I'm at my kitchen table eating my Cocoa Puffs.
That's and I'm like, tradition.
What the heck? My cousin's a photographer. I call her up. I said, hey, Geej, can you take some pictures of me? I got to send them out to, you know, California. Yeah, come on down. So we went down, took some pictures of the kicks and the splits and all that. I FedExed them.
You could do that shit?
If I try. I FedExed them from Pennsylvania, California. About 2 days later, I get a phone call. Call this number, 310. 310? What? That's California. I called the number up. Never forget the guy. I said, hey, this is Todd Sinofante. Oh, Todd, this is Jeff Fisher. We received your packet. You look great. Mr. Van Damme is out.
Jeff Fisher name drop right here, if he's out there watching. Thanks, Jeff.
I'll never forget the guy. And he goes, Todd, we received your packet. Mr. Van Damme is out of the country. We're going to make sure he gets this. I'm like, okay. Hung the phone up. Called my buddies. Hey, guess what? So I didn't hear anything for a couple weeks. I sent more pictures, waited, sent more pictures. I finally called him back. Yeah, just, you know, checking in with you. We're glad you called. Jean-Claude is doing a film in Sudden Death, in Pittsburgh, called Sudden Death. You're in Scranton. All we can do is say, look, you know, take your chance, drive out there. You never know. I packed my little Subaru up. I drove to
Subaru
Pittsburgh.
Drop right there. People
not knowing where I'm going to stay. I parked, I walked into the production office, and I see this girl at the desk. She's writing something down. She looks at me, she gave me a double take. Oh, Mr. Van Damme, you're here.
Ah!
Like, no,
yes, sir.
My name is Tom.
You should have said, hello, okay.
I'm applying for the, stand-in job.
Because of my big legs and my black silk underwear, you can do the splits, no problem.
Can I talk?
Yes, that's what I thought you were doing.
Sorry. Well, I got to start from the beginning.
The nerve on this guy.
So they go, oh, take a seat. The first AD comes out and they go, wow, hey, Todd, nice to meet you. Jean-Claude has a double, but we can definitely use you. Can you come back next week to meet the director? I'm thinking to myself, can I come back next week? Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I drove back and then I drove back. So finally, I get the production office again. Look, okay, we can definitely use you as a stand-in, possibly photo doubling. But again, Jean-Claude does have a stunt double. I said, fine. So what I had to do was I had to find my own housing there. I had to drive myself to the set. I didn't care. My first movie.
Yeah, dude, you're doing it, man.
And I remember you walking onto the in Pittsburgh, you know, the Civic Arena where we did our first couple of scenes. Actually, a little away from the Civic Arena, and I'm like, look at these cameras. Wow, it's a feeling like I belong here.
Right.
So again, all I did was get the camera set up and everything, and then after that. I finally met Jean-Claude. He was at the production office getting his wardrobe fitted. And the second AD goes, hey, JC, this is Todd. He's going to be your...
Should have mirror imaged him. You should have just every movement he made just walked out. Like, what the hell is going on?
Are you done?
Yes, I am.
So So the first time I said, "Hey, Jean-Claude, nice to meet you. I'm a big fan." He was like, "Wow, where'd you find this guy?" I said, "I'm really, you know, looking forward to working with you." He goes, "Great." So again, the first 2 weeks, all I did was stand in for him, get the lighting. He comes on the set. "Okay, Jean-Claude, you got to run to the corner, look that way, and then keep running." Okay. So he did his thing. So there was a scene in the Civic Arena. It was during the NHL strike. So we could film in the arena. There's a scene where on the second level, looking down, and there's like a 300 extras. So the camera guy goes, "Okay, Doc, just stand there for a second. Let me get the angle here, get the focus." And then from behind me, I see, I hear Jean-Claude go, "Hey, what's your girl you like?" Go, "Hey, well, the girl in the blue is nice. The girl in the
blue. And yes, I do like cocaine."
He goes, "Yeah, but you got to be careful these days." I say, "Yeah, you know, I was in a relationship for 7 years and it didn't work out." He goes, "Really?" He goes, "Stay here." He does his scene. He comes running back up. "Come with me." We go all the way to the top level. We're sitting next to each other. He goes, "Okay, what happened with your girl?" So I'm talking. "You know, I got this opportunity. You know, she wanted to get married and this and that." He goes, "I know, you know, relationships are tough." So that was like our first bond.
Right.
Because we started talking about, you know, eating right. And working out. And then the PA comes walking up to the steps and she goes, "Todd, they need you." I was like, "I'm talking to Jean-Claude."
Yeah, like, for what?
Okay.
This is the fucking point. Oh, no, I got to work.
And Jean-Claude goes, "Ah, you better go." So I did this. So that's pretty much how the ball, little connection started. So towards the end of the movie, I got to do some of the photo doubling where, you know, the camera's behind you and you just see me, the back of me, and kind of save some time and money for the production company. Movie comes to an end. I didn't know if I was ever going to work again. I said, "Hey, Jean-Claude, if you need me for the quest, you know."
If he stays remaining looking the way he does, dude.
So he goes, go give your information to the producer. Tell me you're available. Walked over to the producer. "Hey, Jean-Claude told me." "Okay, great." So I go back to Scranton, Pennsylvania after the film. And 2 months later, I get a call. "Hey, this is second AD. We need you for the quest. Don't shave. Don't cut your hair." "Cool. You're going to do the same thing. Do the stand-in, photo doubling. Mark is still the stunt guy." Fine. First time overseas in a plane. I go to Thailand. Beautiful country. Do this pretty much the same thing. Stand in, you know, I give him his space. I go when I see he's not busy. "Hey, Jean-Claude, how you doing?" We start talking. So that's the quest. Same thing. I don't know if I'm ever going to work again.
If he would have broken his nose or something like that, would have changed the way he looked, would you have contemplated it? Like a lot of those weirdo Michael Jackson, like, I'm going to look just like him.
Back then, it probably would have helped because nowadays they can do CGI and all that stuff. Right. So my third film, Maximum Risk, in France, or in Rome, is when I did my first stunt. It was a scene where he plays twins, Mikhail and Alain.
Dude, and fucking double impact?
No, it was Maximum Risk. You're talking Maximum about Risk. Double impact was...
He was Alex his own. He was his own twin. Yeah,
that's when he plays that's, both.
I can
both
do the splits, no problem. Okay, Frank.
But that's how I pretty much got my first my stunt credit, and then that's how I got to do a little more action. So again, after Maximum Risk, I'm like, "Am I going to work again?" I go give. So then they call me for Double Team, and Double Team.
Tell me, because all right, just for you guys, because this guy he can jam. He's Italian, he can talk. But I interviewed him on LA Talk Radio, and I'm never gonna bring that fucking name up. But again,
it was a good time though.
Yeah, it was a great time. I just, you know, we had a falling out due to my attitude problem. But whatever.
I don't believe it.
Fuck them. Yeah, respectfully. But anyway, point being is you told me an interesting story about the irony of being in France doing that movie.
Yes, oh, sir. is it ironic or a coincidence?
Yeah. Like, well, there's a little okay, bit of both. So come maybe, on, tell us the story.
Yeah, maybe your two listeners that are listening can.
Hey, you'd be surprised. We're going to rack them up, man. Feel happy that you're watching this show.
Oh, no, your rating is going to go straight up after this.
Straight through the roof over here. No, anyway, seriously, I want to hear about it, man, because you actually ended up in a very interesting situation.
Here's what it was. I asked you, I said, "Now tell me, is this ironic or a coincidence?" I'm in France. We're filming a movie called Double Team. is where I had my first menage a trois. Now, is that ironic or a coincidence?
Hey, man, we want to know the details. Was Jean-Claude there?
No.
Was what the fuck was the guy's name? Dennis Rodman was here?
Right? No.
No. Okay, good.
Just me.
Whew. All right.
So, yeah, they the girls enjoy themselves. Right. So, yeah, after Double Team, you know, again, same thing, same producer. We do Knockoff in Hong Kong. That's where I got to meet, you know, Rob Schneider, Leila Rashan, Paul Sorvino. So I worked with a lot of great actors. I learned so much on this set and the traveling itself.
So what I want to ask you as far as the stunt work is concerned, military training and all that obviously helped you tremendously, or whatever the hell you actually went through, because it's not like just because I look like somebody doesn't mean I can do the stunts. So here, let me ask you this question, since we are kind of pressed for time and this guy has to go to an audition or something wily that I won't be doing today. Put in a good word for me. What was the, because I love Jackie Chan. I watch a lot of his stunts. There's like some compilation shit you can watch. The guy was out of his mind, really. What do you consider your most terrifying, like heart-stopping, holy shit, I survived kind of thing stunt?
I actually met Jackie Chan on the film Double Team.
Right.
He's good friends with the director, Troy Hawk. And one day, the only day I didn't have a camera, because back then he had the little snap cameras and throwaway cameras, got to meet him. You know, he was showing us a few things. The scariest stunt was during Double Team. There's a scene where a tiger chases Jean-Claude through the Coliseum.
You had to deal with a tiger, did you?
Tiger. It was a 4-day shoot. And Randy Miller, the animal wrangler, the best in the business. What we would do is, when it was time to rehearse the scene, they would have me run exactly where I'm supposed to run, about 10, 15 times. Then I would be off the set. He would bring the tiger in, and he would show the tiger where to run. When it was time to film...
Hey, Todd, why don't you just stand right there? Yeah, perfect. Right in this path right here.
When it was time to film... The tiger knew where to run, but now it had something to run at.
Oh, great. Close your eyes.
Yeah. I remember Charlie Paterni, stunt coordinator, said, okay, Todd, whatever you do, don't fall. Okay, thanks. I remember right before we shot the scene, I went to the producer. Hey, can I use your phone? I just want to call my mom and dad.
Just want to say goodbye to a few loved
hey,
ones.
Hey, mom. Hey, I'm just about to do a scene with the tiger. My mom goes, oh, is it friendly? Yes.
He's great.
Really
he's
nice. Great. Don't worry
not,
about
not
it.
Not too many casualties.
Bye-bye. Love you.
See, that's
Kobe. That was probably the scariest stunt I've ever done.
I can't do any of that shit. Like the height stuff. Hell no, dude. Like what? I don't know. You guys are special.
There's one... I'm not a fan of fire. That's one thing I don't want to do, because I've heard, you know, stunt guys in the business 20, 30 years getting burned. I'm like, what's going to happen to me? I'll let those guys do that. And also during Knockoff, another scary stunt, we're in a little motorboat.
You motorboating son of a bitch.
I do like the motorboat. Little speedboat. So I'm driving a speedboat in between these two barges. With the wire. So I'm supposed to drive, and then I'm supposed to get up and then jump off and grab onto the wire. So I got to the wire, I went to stand up, and the boat stalled. And this barge crashed right into the boat. And there was an AD in the center console of the boat. I'm like, dude, we're hit. And we had a cut. So that was another scary situation.
Yeah, I'm no good with sharks, spiders.
It's a big adrenaline rush, you know?
So where was the transition into acting? Because it sounds like you were, you know, doing.
I always loved to be in front of the camera. In high school, I was a president of our drama club.
No.
Yeah, we did a lot of these.
To be.
Hello, Dolly. You know.
It's a sort of question.
It was always in me to you know, to act. So once, you know, all the stunt work, you know, was not out of the way, but. I got my first break after The Quest because I had a call from a guy in New York. Said, look, we heard some really good things about you on The Quest. We're doing a film called Fist of Legend 2 Iron Bodyguards. We want you to come in and play the Russian fighter. So that was my very first on-screen, even though it was dubbed, in a Chinese film. So that was my first on-screen film. And then, you know, I got involved in the fitness magazines. So I got a lot of exposure towards that. And then the acting, it was just natural.
All right, let me ask you some health questions. You actually kind of struck a chord there. There's obviously a lot of excess and a lot of partying that comes along with shit like that. Maybe it's just in you to want to fuck off like that. I know it's in me to want to fuck off like that. But I don't exactly take too much care of myself when it comes to physical shit.
Man, you really don't.
At least I ain't getting any younger. That being said, I am going to give it a shot, drop some weight. I am getting a little chunky.
Good luck with that.
But anyway, point being is, how did you separate all that and stick with the plan, stick with the focus and, laser kind of shit your way through it?
I come from a great, strong Italian family. And I always said to myself, you know, I represent them. I'm not going to do anything stupid. I was always afraid of doing drugs. If you want to do drugs, you want to be in a movie set. I just shied away from it and I just didn't have any interest in it.
Yeah, it was a bitch to get this guy to take a shot with me. So he's that guy.
We had Kool-Aid on that show, though.
Was it? No, it was, something like that.
In the college red cups.
Yeah, right. Hey, speaking of which, the concoction right here is orange juice with like a touch of Smirnoff ice. And I'm not condoning this behavior, but it's really not that alcoholic. That being said, I don't mind wetting the palate here. Now what? But all right, so what's next for you, man? Like, what's going on?
We finished, we were fortunate before the pandemic hit. We did a film called The Rideshare Killer. I play one of the leads in it, and because they were going to push it to March is pretty much one. So I'm glad we finished it. It's in the can. The trailer's online now. I'm really proud of that role. And then after that, during the pandemic, we did a film called My Redneck Neighbor. The comic.
That shit made me, when I've read that one, I was like, fucking,
I played funny.
I gotta watch that one.
I play a flamboyant hick.
Flamboyant as in a gay?
I had a reach, but I did a pretty good job. No. So this is my third film with
great gay hick, huh?
My third film with Eric Roberts.
You did movies with Eric Roberts.
Unfortunately, the film that I did with him, I didn't have any scenes with him, but you know, we got to talk on
set. He's pretty cool, man.
He's a great guy. Really nice guy. Great actor too. So we're gonna see how the Rideshare Killer, does. I think we're gonna do a Zoom premiere.
Have you tried your hand at actual, like, do you write? Do you do all that side of it too?
So that's one thing I haven't done yet. I've got some ideas, but they're here, not on paper yet.
Hopefully there.
So it is a crazy business. You know, if you want to make money, don't be an actor.
Yeah, right. You
want to make money.
So I'm interested in the, I love acting, but I'm more, I mean, I want to do it all, obviously. Like, I'm doing the music thing, the crazy hi, everybody thing. And I'm planning on writing a movie. I've got a hell of a concept, but it doesn't everybody. But I'd like to see it through. And comedy. I love stand-up.
Oh, comedy is great. I love comedy. Everybody's got to laugh.
Yeah. I mean, seriously. In the weirdest of times, I probably say some dark shit to make everyone kind of uncomfortable. But whatever, man. It's got to happen. As far as getting into the entire scene, you know, there's so much heartbreak and letdown. Like, my family was going to do a reality show and we signed a pre-production deal with said company that produced the Kardashians and whatnot and shit like that. And that fell through to personal things and, you know, natural disasters and shit like that. But it's like so close yet so far is just the theme out here and stuff like that. But you maintain sort of a clear head. It's always funny talking to you, man. Like, the amount of crazy shit this guy sends me on Facebook. I want to share some of that.
Humor. Yeah, humor is everything these days. Everyone's got to laugh, especially these times, you know.
How's the personal life going, dude?
It's going, you know. I'm taking it day by day, you know. Still pounding the pavement. Not physically, but, you know, making connections and, you know, trying to do my thing.
What, do you recommend getting an agent first, or like, what would you,
no.
What would you talk, like, if you're talking to a 12-year-old, like, kind of like me, I want to do it, but, what would your program be? Like, exactly what actions should you take first? If you want to be an actor,
school.
Like, let's, yeah, stay in school, fuck acting, don't do drugs unless, you know, I'm there.
I would suggest you need a plan B, plan C, plan D.
Yeah, but you know, there's a lot of headstrong people out there that it's, you know, all their eggs are in the basket.
The strongest head in the business, you still have a minute chance of actually making it. So, I mean, if it's really what you want to do, pursue it, you know, take acting classes, you know, just keep up with it. And you never know, you know, your luck can strike like mine did. But mine was back then. I kept going. You know, something's got to happen. And then it happened. So I'm trying to take advantage of where I've been and what I'm doing now, taking the experience I've had and just getting better. You know, I'm not the best person to ask for advice, but I'm just saying, if it's what you want to do, keep doing it, man.
You know who you remind me of right now? No, this one's new. You ever see Fast Times at Ridgemont High or something like that shit?
Don't say Spicoli.
Yeah, dude. For real, bro. Hey, you know, I'll tell you what, man. So I shit you. No. Not that guy. Not that fucking guy. Even though that's funny. God, Sean Penn, he played that guy. I'm talking about the Italian guy that has sex with the girl in the pool house. I shit you not, man. When he's like, hey, what? You know, everything's
I love swimming.
Fine. Like, everybody loves fucking Sean Penn character. Hey man, I know you got to run. We're gonna do this again. Your hair's looking longer. Your guns are all out there.
It's almost as long as yours. I'm saying,
man, my shit goes down. We were talking right
last time we talked, I had a hat on, my wasp shirt, and we talked a little bit about music.
Are you the music guy?
Well, I mean, I was surprised when Eddie died.
Oh, dude, I cried.
Everybody has their own opinions. You have your opinion. I have my opinion. I think he was the greatest guitar player ever.
Yeah. I just talked to
Michael. Because he was self-taught.
Yeah, that's.
He came up with those riffs on his own. I mean,
his swagger and just like everything about the guy. I was just talking to Michelangelo Badio. Just the shredster of all shredsters.
Oh, yeah.
And he was more contemporary, kind of like a peer, I guess, of Eddie's, but I mean, still learned a lot. And you know,
everybody's got their own styles, and he was just, yeah, that's my opinion. Well, I have a question for you.
Yes, sir.
Is it true that you eat your peas one at a time?
First of all, I don't know how you got that information. That was private.
I was at a truck stop. I had to take a piss. It said, for a good time, called Marco.
Just written on
he eats his peas one at a time.
Was that at Barstow? It must have been at Barstow, man.
It was up in Camarillo, I think, somewhere.
No, I don't eat peas at the same or way, one at a time, and that was fucking great. Listen, man, you're the shit. You guys got to look this guy up, and for advice, don't call him. Talk to him personally.
I'm on, Instagram, Facebook, you know, all my acting stunts are on YouTube. So when you're bored eating your Cocoa Puffs, take a look.
Yeah, for damn sure, man. Always a pleasure, Mr. Todd Senafonte.
All right.
I'll talk to you soon, brother.
All right, Marco, appreciate it.
Rock and roll. Take care, general population. See you soon.